Hello and welcome back to the movies you forgot.
Hold. Do it again, but you have a little habit that I'm training you out of now. I've decided where you go. Welcome back. Like, don't do that. Have your mouth already open if you need to, so that you don't get the click of the open.
Oh, that you've never told me that's why it clicks.
Yeah,
just told me. Now you've just told me my mouth clicks.
now I've decided to tell you.
So, that's a useful, thing. Well, let me get some. I haven't drunk today,
check this out. Welcome. Yeah, my mouth is already open before I went for the "were" instead of the "welcome." Welcome.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to be the host, and Joe prefers to be the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
Oh, welcome back to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host, Adam Richmond. And joining me as ever is the Leaky Bucket Boy, Brain, Scarecrow Man, Mr. Joe Devine.
Hello there. Very excited about today, Adam.
This is part two of, I guess, what Joe likes to call the best movies of the 21st century. I think that's a bit self-aggrandizing.
Favourite movies of the 21st century.
Yeah, yeah. It's pick one. It's pick one film from every year of the 21st century up to 2023, and we each pick one, and we say what our fave is.
Yeah.
And then we discuss it a little bit. I think, go back and listen to the part one, if you want. That's 2000 to 2005. And we're going to do another batch.
Oh, today, what is it, 2006 to 2011, to 2011?
Yeah. We're going to bust into the tens today.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, I'm foreshadowing a little bit, but there's one year in this episode that is so, so stacked with movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's next year.
Yeah, it's next year.
It's next year.
Yeah,
it's 2007.
It is.
Everyone knows. I can't believe, you know, whenever I was talking about the, you know, the year people talk about, there are cinematic years that people chat about. 1997 is one. And I don't recall 2007 cropping up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's do 2006, sure, for God's sake.
Please pick one. Please pick one. Please pick one. Please pick one. 2006.
So, 2006. Joe, do you want to... Do you want me to go first? Do you want to guess me?
I would like to guess you. Yeah, I think this was quite difficult, this guess, and I was caught between a couple of different ones. But the film that I guess was your favourite from that year was The Prestige.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay. You're on safe ground, and you've nailed it.
Okay.
What did you think of 2006 as a year? It feels like I wrote down the word thin.
It is thin. My list of contenders is shorter than many other years, but there are four films that could have won it for me this year, and I think that's more than most. So it's thin in terms of volume, but specifically for me, the quality is extraordinarily high. I mean, do you want to guess which one I picked?
Your film is the easiest to guess, but I will say the only other contender for me would have been Old Joy.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I never heard of it. What's it about?
It's about these two buddies who haven't sort of seen each other for a while, and they go for a long walk in the sort of Portland, Oregon wilderness. It's directed by Kelly Reichardt. She's a great director. She directed, what did she direct? Oh yeah, Meek's Cut Off. Did you ever see that?
No.
Anyway, she's a good director. It's the best film about male friendship that I've ever seen, but I've only seen it once, and that's why it's not topped The Prestige, which I've seen that film, and I've read the book, mate. Of course I've read the book. Where's the book? It's on my bookshelf.
It's a terrific film. The Prestige is a terrific film. It's eminently rewatchable, I find. even though there are some twisty elements to it. It's still like, it's one of those terrific films where when you watch it for the first time and you realize, oh wow, it doesn't decrease your enjoyment of watching it again at all. I love those sorts of films.
It enriches it, and it is also, I think it is super slept on. It's the slept on Nolan, but it's also just slept on in life.
Yeah.
And yes, it's got Scarlett Johansson with a slightly dodgy British accent.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it doesn't really detract from what is a really great film.
No, and it balances out by having David fucking Bowie in it.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that's... he's not in it, again, too much to be annoying. but so, yeah, your film... May I be so bold as to say, yeah. Children of Men?
It is. I think it's my favourite film, Adam, and it made me fall in love with Clive Owen, who is an actor that prior to enjoying Children of Men, I hadn't really invested much time in. I didn't think a huge amount of. I love him, as we've talked about before, in the Bourne Identity. He's wonderful in that film, but Children of Men, I just think, is an absolute masterpiece, and Clive Owen is in every scene pretty much, and he's you know, his performance is so great in that movie. There are terrific scenes. I'm sure most people listening will have seen it. If you haven't seen it, you do me a favor, watch Children of Men. It's just brilliant. I mean, you like it, right?
I think I've only ever seen it once or twice,
really?
And I thought it was fine. Quite like it,
yeah.
But. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think of it ever, apart from when you talk about it.
It's just right up my alleyway, you know. It's in the centre of the Venn diagrams of me.
Yeah, it's definitely in my cul-de-sac,
mm-hmm.
cinematically. But there are some other decent-ish movies floating around this year. There is like A Scanner Darkly, This Is England.
Uh-huh.
The Departed is knocking about. Pan's Labyrinth is knocking about.
Yeah. Two others that for me would be contenders for my favourite this year, if not for Children of Men. The Lives of Others came out in 2006, which is about the Stasi in East Berlin.
Very good.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, that film. And then another one, which I don't think I would look back and think, oh, that's my favourite now. But at the time, I adored it, and it's Borat, which is an endlessly funny film to me.
Yeah. I'd never liked it at the time.
Bit popular for you in 2006, I would have thought.
No, well, then I just think of dickheads on stag do's.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it kind of...
But we can't let them ruin everything.
They ruined Anchorman a bit. They definitely ruined Borat.
Has it been... Maybe it's been enough time now since Borat came out. When was the last time you watched it?
I've only watched it once when it came out, and I thought it was sort of funny. I just don't think two men wrestling naked in a hotel room, for me, is like the pinnacle of humour. I know for some people it is.
It's not even the funniest bit in that film, though. Like that was the bit that got talked about the most, and that's the bit that you know, made appearances at awards ceremonies. I think Sacha Baron Cohen mentioned that in a speech when he was accepting an award. So it's kind of... It's the obvious physical humour bit from the film, but there's so many great bits in that film.
Yeah, okay, but I'm just saying that was just a plucking something out of the air that I remembered as not being my cup of tea. I don't think it's that funny. I think it's kind of, you've been framed, candid camera, it's quite cruel, easy low-hanging fruit, dickhead frat guys making them look stupid, and him putting on a foreign accent. I just find it... It doesn't really make me laugh. It didn't make me laugh then. I would never watch it to see if it makes me laugh now. I can't imagine I've warmed to it. But yeah, great, man. You love Borat. This is why we don't do comedies on the show.
Fair enough.
But it was massive, and it's always knocked around. And so it's just another one of those comedies where I felt, you know, left out of the cold. So I had to kind of... I had to put on the suit of armour.
The fortress.
To sort of justify, oh, well, this is for thickos. And I'm going to feel better about the fact I don't find it funny.
Right.
Because
right, right.
It's for thickos. Yeah, you know, yeah. So it kind of basically it stirs up a well of self-hatred.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a real trigger word, Borat. And yeah, I'm upset that you brought it up.
Yeah, I can hear that. Well, let me just quickly tell you a couple of my favourite bits, okay? Because they're not like the naked wrestling. No, you know, like the I think there's a
you
bit
can
where
take two of your favourite bits.
That's what. Yeah, a couple. That's what I meant. That's what a couple means. Otherwise, otherwise it'd be a few or several. You know,
really,
a couple only
couple
means
two.
Yeah,
a few means three.
Few means three. Four? Several is where four starts. I used to think several was seven or like six, seven, eight, but apparently several is four and over is several.
You see, whenever if someone says a couple, I feel like they probably say two, but they're reserving their right.
They're sneaking someone in there.
They're reserving the right to say a third.
It's exactly the kind of thing I would do. It's 100%. Because if I said, let me tell you about a few of my favourite bits, you'd go, whoa, Nelly, not a few, two. That's what you'd say. So I thought if I said a couple and like you were enjoying the first one or two, I might be able to sneak a third in there. But
I've also taken up time for you to talk about that third now by just being a dickhead.
Sure.
So tell me three.
So I'll tell you two. The first one is when he goes to have a kind of he goes to have dinner with the people. I think they're in a sort of deep South state. And he's just had elocution lessons and he's just been taught how to be an American gentleman. And so he goes along to the dinner of some well-to-dos in one of those kind of old American, big, huge, like white-fronted houses, you know. And he's with, I don't know, maybe there's like the local mayor or something or the business leaders. And he's there making nice and, you know, constantly bowing for some reason. Anyway, he goes to do a poo and he brings his poo back downstairs in the plastic bag. And I know it's stupid, but that's a good example of a scenario where the joke is on him, right? Like that film, you raised the point before where it's like it's low-hanging fruit or it's a bit cruel. That film's a good example of one that's a little half and half. There are definitely moments in that film where the joke is on the people who are kind of caught candidly, right? And those bits are always a little less funny unless, you know, they're seem like abject people. But Borat also has these great moments where the people are so nice in their reaction to it. Do you remember that film? I don't know if we talked about this before, but Eric Andre made a prank movie, Bad Trip, a few years ago. Did you see that?
Yeah, I started watching it again and it just wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah, for sure. It's not a terrific film, but it's a great example of a more modern prank type film where the joke is exclusively on Eric Andre and his co-stars. And the people in that film are kind of, you know, they kind of come across as heroes in most cases.
But you watch it and people have to witness what's happening. And the joke, he might be the centre of the joke and stuff's happening to him, but everyone is having to have their day ruined or traumatised by this stuff happening. So I kind of disagree on that. And equally, I like him bringing a bag of shit, his shit down, I start to think, I don't understand like how grounded this joke is. Like, is this true to what Borat would do? I don't think so. The fabric, fair enough, but the fabric of the joke for me just doesn't stand up. So I can't find it funny.
I'd love to watch Borat with you at some point in the next year and just watch. I'll watch you watching it just to see if you find any of it funny. Because I think if you watched it again now, as a 40-plus years old man, you would find it funny. But let's move on. 2006, great year for me.
It's a solid year. I don't think there's some greats in there, but I think generally, compared to what's coming up, it's not a great year.
Just for me, it is.
The fact that it's got one of your favourite films of all time, does that make it enough to be a great year?
The Lives of Others is also one of my favourite films of all time. I loved A Scanner Darkly the first time I watched it. The Prestige is brilliant, and I really love Borat. So, like, it's, you know, five really great films. That's a good year for me.
Okay, I can't push back on those numbers.
I've made it hard for you to.
I'm not going to. You've laid out the I'm not going to.
2007.
Okay, now 2007. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should do this year. I think everyone should be forever. They should just take a look at what the films came out in 2007 and then have to guess or pay us money to find out. And they come and see us in person, give us a tenner, and maybe we'll share. This could be our deep, dark secret where no one ever knows. Mm-hmm. It's a biggie.
It's such a fat year.
You guessed me first, so I'm going to guess you now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess No Country for Old Men is yours.
Yes, it is.
And now you guessed me straight back.
Yeah, so like this was hard because there's two films I think it could be. One of them is No Country for Old Men. The other one was The Assassination of Jesse James. And you talk about that one so much. You love that film. I know you love that film. But I don't know whether No Country for Old Men is just so obviously your favourite of the year that that's why you don't talk about it as frequently in the way that you talk about Jesse James. So I don't know which one to pick. But for the sake of diversity, I'm going to pick Jesse James.
No, you should have trusted your gut. It is No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Assassination of Jesse James isn't even on my longer list.
Really? But you love that film.
I don't love it. I did love it. Oh. And then when I rewatched it, I think it's a really handsome, strong film. But there are other films in 2007 that I think I love a lot more.
Fair enough.
There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Zodiac. Wreck. Mm-hmm. Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
Time Crimes.
Yeah. Did you not write Michael Clayton down?
I like Michael Clayton. That's not a film I love. It's obviously a strong film. We can't just list. I mean, I'm not going to just list films. Those are the films that are in contention.
Sure. Well, quickly then, let me list the only final three other films that I love from that year: Bourne Ultimatum, Control, the Joy Division movie, and American Gangster with Rusty Crowe and Denzel.
I knew you weren't going to pick Bourne Ultimatum because that's your
it's my third Bourne.
Your third Bourne out of the original canon trilogy. We do not count Jason Bourne.
No.
Doesn't count.
We absolutely do not count Jason Bourne. But Adam, here's my theory, and it's all based around the year 2007, okay? My theory is that film fans, movie fans, people, all human beings that can watch movies are split into two buckets, categories, okay? And and they have to have been alive and watching these movies in 2007. They either go in the bucket category, they prefer the film No Country for Old Men, or they go in the bucket category, they prefer the film There Will Be Blood, right? And I think you're kind of one or other. You can really like both films, but I don't think anyone likes them equally.
Yeah, I mean, because There Will Be Blood was, that was probably the closest that was going to come toe-to-toe as my other pick.
Yeah.
And we chatted about, I think it was during Dangerous Method, I was talking about Cronenberg Kids and Lynch Losers and what the modern equivalent was. And you helped me land, I mean, you pretty much landed the modern equivalent to be people who were, you're P.T. Anderson or you're the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
I still don't necessarily think, I think I set up a stupid thing, but that was the closest, most in the right wheelhouse thing that I think I wanted to hear. I love that Face Off, and I didn't even realise that 2007 was the year where they properly head off.
Oh mate, it's the penalty shootout of the head off, I would say. And it's so hard because in 2000, I watched both of these films that year in the cinema, and There Will Be Blood just floored me. I thought it was terrific. And I was 17 years old. People were quoting this film constantly for the year in the film. I'd never seen Daniel Day-Lewis do something like that before. Maybe I'd seen him in the one he's in with Leo, the New York one. What's that one called?
Yeah, he does. There's a little whiff. Whiff of Bill the Butcher.
There's a whiff of Bill in there. There is. But the lines in this that stuck with me and still stick with me now, you know, I drink your milkshake was terrific. I've abandoned my boy, of course, is probably the most famous one. But also the very end of the film, when he pops his hand up and he shouts, I'm finished. I remember thinking that's the best ending to a film I've ever seen. I loved how it resolved. I loved how it felt like desperate and kind of empty and like it was all worthless. And it just spoke to me in the way that No Country for Old Men did, but to a lesser extent when I was 17 years old.
Well, it's interesting you talk about endings because people do not and did not like and were baffled by the ending of No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
They find it there's something anti-cinema almost in the ending of No Country for Old Men, not least because one of the main characters dies off screen.
Yep.
And then it ends with Tommy Lee Jones talking about a dream.
Yep.
So no wonder your baffled little 17-year-old mind was left yearning and confused.
Well, I clung, this is a very rude thing to say, and but it's just a symbolic representation rather than a direct comparison, right? But I clung to the pantomime of There Will Be Blood. It spoke to me at the time. It was loud and brash and exciting and silly and like theatrical. And No Country for Old Men was this... it's almost small film, like this something that was a lot more subtlety to it, right? And now I watch them. I watched No Country for Old Men last night, I will say, partly because I knew we were going to have this conversation.
Oh, you little git. I would have loved to have done that.
And it is, I don't think there's any word other than exquisite for this film. I wept at the end, the scene that you're talking about, Tommy Lee Jones talking about the dream he has about his father. It's beautiful. And the film also, not only is it so watchable, so compelling, the performances are incredible and it's exciting and it's adrenaline rushing and all the rest of it. It speaks to my sort of deep view of life in a way that I can't think of that many other films that do, right? And this is all based on the notion, something that's similar to what you were just saying, like what even happens in the film, right? Your main character, Llewellyn, He just happens upon some money. You've no idea who he is. He takes the money. You've no idea who the people who he takes it from are. Javier Bardem shows up. You've no idea who he's working for. You get to the end of the film without really knowing who he was working for. You already mentioned this, but your main character who you've been rooting for all the way through, you hear little references to his past here and there, but nothing concrete. He just dies off screen. About like 80% of the way through, the film is just gone. That's it. And then the film kind of tone switches to Tommy Lee Jones, or perspective switches to Tommy Lee Jones, who plays the local sheriff, who's done the voiceover at the beginning of the film, but hasn't really been in it very much. And then towards the end of the movie, Javier Bardem, the great antagonist, he just gets in a random car crash. There's no reason or rhyme for that. He stumbles off from that at the end. You don't never know whether he gets caught or not. Woody Harrelson shows up for this like brilliant 15 minutes and then he's gone. And like, there's nothing, there's no reason to it. There's no meaning. The story doesn't matter. Like, and so when you get to the ending and you hear Tommy Lee Jones, the vast majority of whom's conversations throughout the film have been with other police officers, other sheriffs, where they all say, oh, it's the, you know, the youth these days. It's the, you know, what are you going to do? It's just, it's crazy. None of it makes any sense. He gets to the end of the film and he tells his wife about a dream he had about his father on his first day of retirement when he doesn't know what to do with himself. I mean, it's meaningless and it's fucking wonderful, Adam. So I think the older I've got, the more I've loved it.
Yeah, I guess we've got different ideas of meaningless, because it's not meaningless. It's more, it's about chaos.
Yeah.
And like the nature of fate and... because that's what Javier Bardem's character is talking about.
Yeah.
He's this, evil, avenging figure of inevitability.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. And it's such a Coen Brothers film. I think maybe you said this when we were arguing about it. Coen Brothers could make There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
P.T. Anderson couldn't make No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Or you said something like that.
You
said something like, oh, one could make the other film. And I went, yes, they could.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I think you were saying the Coen brothers could make Inherent Vice.
Yeah, yeah.
But they probably could make There Will Be Blood as well.
Yeah.
But again, that's not to be a slam on P.T. Anderson. I love P.T. Anderson.
Sure.
He's tip top. He's right up there.
And There Will Be Blood is a wonderful film.
Yeah, I mean, if those films come on telly at the same time, you know, I'm gonna put on No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, it's eminently more rewatchable. Personally, that for me.
And I think maybe 5-10 years ago, people, film fans, would be instantly kind of just saying, "Oh well, obviously There Will Be Blood." No Country for Old Men's stature is growing and growing and growing, and I have a feeling now everyone would be agreeing with you.
Yeah.
So you don't even get to have the kind of slightly countercultural angle to your pick.
Which is when I told you earlier I wanted to have this conversation, your instant response was to say, oh, I know what you're doing. You're trying to be countercultural. You're trying to say everyone will say the other one, so I'm saying this one. That's not me. That's what you do. That's why you've got confused. You've thought you were looking in a mirror, but you were actually looking at me.
You've come here and you've brought good and wealth, but you have also brought your bad habits as a backslider. You've lusted after women, and you have abandoned your child. Your child that you raised, you have abandoned all because he was sick and you have sinned. So say it now. I am a sinner. Say it louder. I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Louder, Daniel. I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I am sorry, Lord.
I am sorry, Lord.
I want the blood.
I want the blood.
You have abandoned your child.
I've abandoned my child.
I will never backslide.
I will never backslide.
I was lost, but now I am found.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
I have abandoned my child.
I've abandoned my child.
Say it louder. Say it louder.
I've abandoned my child. I've abandoned my child. I've abandoned my boy.
Beg for the blood!
Give me the blood, Lord, and let me get away!
Do you accept Jesus Christ as your savior?
Yes, I do.
2008.
And now for 2008, a year that I've put down as not great. Mm. Have a think and guess what my pick is for 2008.
Yeah.
Hit me.
Your film for 2008 is The Dark Knight. What do you think mine is?
Well, I mean, obviously Gran Torino. Yours has got to be The Dark Knight.
Yeah, it's The Dark Knight. I wasn't expecting you to pause for thought.
I mean, you've got The Hurt Locker in there.
Yeah, yeah, I really like The Hurt Locker. It's on my longer list. And there are two other films on my longer list that maybe, like, it could have been in a different year.
Yeah, I think you're saying Slumdog?
No.
Okay, maybe Bronson?
Nope.
Milk?
No, that is on my longer list, but I've written it off of you being allowing me to talk about it.
Yeah, we can't get into that longer list. Uh-huh. Hunger?
Nope.
Oh, Tropic Thunder?
No.
Ponyo?
No.
Oh, In Bruges?
Yeah, that's one of them. The other one would be a little harder for you to guess, I think. Not because you won't know it, but because I don't think you would expect me to include it.
Oh, okay. This is the good game.
Yeah.
This is the game.
Yeah, there's a pretty significant cancellation around this film. Not the specific film, but...
Oh.
There's a cancelled person directly involved.
Yeah. £7.
Nope.
Oh. I went straight to Big Willy. Oh, 21?
No.
Oh, fuck you, man. What are you loving?
I loved this film at the time.
Oh, Hancock.
No. And no, it's not Big Willy. Get off Big Willy, okay?
Oh, man. Pineapple Express.
No, I loved this movie at the time. It's got an actor that we just talked about at length in it. And it's got a couple of other people, one of whom you've already mentioned today. And it's three lead characters. Four, I suppose. But the director is the cancelled party here. Shall I read you the blurb? A little bit of the blurb that doesn't give it away?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not coming close.
Redacted film name is a 2008 romantic comedy drama. Written and directed by redacted actor. Redacted director name. The film stars four redacted actors in all lead roles. It centres around two American women who spend a summer in redacted location.
Oh my God. It's about those two old ladies.
No, it's not.
Is it about Naomi Watts and...
No.
It's not that film.
Naomi Watts, no. Naomi Watts is not in the film. Where they meet an artist.
Oh,
Juan
Vicky
Antonio.
Vicky Christina Barcelona.
Vicky Christina Barcelona, yeah.
You are having a laugh.
Well, I loved that film when I was 18 years old.
Christmas, yeah, because you wanted to watch things about threesomes. No. Get your mind out of the gutter.
That's not it, man. And that's exactly the kind of crude bullshit I would expect a man like you to say when I tell you.
Don't make it personal.
I like Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Oh, what? Because you want to see tits, is it? Is that why? Because you like it when there's tits. Yeah, I know it's not that. It's because I like the vibes, mate. I like the vibes. It's lovely. And also, it's one of my favourite subgenres of films. We've talked about this before. American movies set in Europe, because they have this view of Europe that doesn't exist. But I wish I lived there.
Right. Okay. I remember a pal, Matty M, say, just sort of shat on it a bit and said, oh, you know, it's filled with voiceover.
Uh-huh.
And then the characters say what's just been in the voiceover. So right. I just dismissed it based on him.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like, well, God, when they do that in films, that's a real no-no.
Hey, it's not me. That's not me saying it.
Yeah, Matty M saying it.
But, I mean, what can we say about The Dark Knight that hasn't already been said?
I don't know. I mean,
it's just, you know, what else? It's just, I think it's now almost... It's a film like Fight Club that you can't really say is amazing and that you love. It's a red flag film.
Is it?
I think so, a bit.
No. Because I think it escapes that in my head.
Hey, you know, you tell someone that you love The Dark Knight and I think they would think you were... I don't think people realise how smart and great it is if they haven't seen it. It's like they would just lump it in with Marvel stuff. And then there's a certain kind of... young male film fan,
yeah,
who I don't think is particularly nice, and they probably really like The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I get it. And also, in the same way that we were talking about Borat before, there are people who have been dressing up seriously as the Joker for Halloween for many years and doing the Heath Ledger version, and it's all kind of, you know, I'd love it if the film wasn't associated with that, but it is. For better or worse. And I'm going to go out on a limb then. I've never thought about The Dark Knight as being in that category. Now you say it, it makes sense. I think this is one of the best films ever made. I mean, I think it's absolutely terrific. The notion that anyone would think of it akin to the Marvel movies is not in terms of value judgment, but just in terms of type of film, category of film, is, you know, bizarre to me. It is a cinematic force. And I love it more with every year that passes.
And I couldn't agree more.
A long time ago, I was in Burma. My friends and I were working for the local government. They were trying to buy the loyalty of tribal leaders by bribing them with precious stones. But their caravans were being raided in a forest north of Rangoon by a bandit. So we went looking for the stones. But in 6 months, we never met anyone who traded with him. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit had been throwing them away.
So why steal it?
Well, because he thought it was good sport, because... Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burst.
2009.
This year, man. This year. Talk about 2007. 2009. is a hell of a year. And what I also kind of want to talk about at some point...
Is it really? Because my list isn't a hell of a year list.
It just goes to show that I kind of know a lot more than you do.
I think it might do in this instance. It might do, because I'm looking at my list and thinking, huh? This seems like a thin year.
You know how you made 2006 a good year?
Uh-huh, right.
There's some really, really strong stuff in here. Okay. And I found it very difficult to pick as a result.
I found it difficult to pick between two films.
Shall I pick you again?
Yeah, it's your go.
Oh, man, this... It's getting into your head.
Do you know...
They're not obscure, are they?
No, not really, no.
So I'm going to say The Road.
That's one of them.
Are you an Inglourious Bastards guy?
No,
I think
it's a great film. Really enjoy that.
Oh no, that was just me. That was me just talking to myself. I was saying no, and I don't think you are. I mean, there's a Potter knocking around, but it's a shit Potter.
Yeah, to be honest, Potter 5, Order of the Phoenix, which I didn't mention because I thought you shouted at me for going on too long in 2007. That's my favourite Potter, but not The Half-Blood Prince, not for 2009.
Can I ask, is it kind of a fun film?
There's some fun to be had in it, but it's certainly not exclusively a comedy, but there is fun within it.
So I was going to maybe guess Zombieland.
No.
Okay.
No. I love sci-fi, man. I'm sci-fi guy.
District 9.
Yeah. So it was a real toss-up between those two for me, and I picked one of them.
You picked District 9.
I didn't. I picked The Road. But it was so changeable, man, and I feel like tomorrow it might have been District 9. Yesterday it might be The Road. You know, like, it was so hard. I think it was the hardest one to pick.
But come on, if those both come on the telly, you're not going to watch The Road, are you? You're going to watch...
No, I am.
The Prawns.
If they both came on telly, I'd watch The Road. That's just the kind of person I am.
God, you've...
I love misery. I'm a misery guts. Yeah. I'm drawn to sadness, you know.
Okay.
I think I know what yours is, although I felt very confident that I knew what yours was, but now you've started to describe 2009 as a strong year. I'm a little scared that I don't even have it on my list. So I'm going to hit you with my only guess here, which is Moon.
I mean, you know me. That's all there is to it.
Hey, it's Moon. Give it a buddy.
Now, there's a couple more highbrow flicks knocking around 2009.
Yeah, yeah.
And some lowbrows, to be honest.
Man, I've got two amazing lowbrows. I'll come back to them.
There's Watchmen, which I think is... It's fantastic, superbly made.
Still never seen
it. It's a bit maligned because of Zack Snyder.
Right.
But
he's the guy who made Batman, right?
He made Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, that one, yeah. And the Suicide Squad.
No.
No, that was someone else, okay.
That's James Gunn. He made a Justice League Snyder Cut. Yeah. He's now... Snyder Cut is a... And Snyder fans... They're the kind of the baddies,
right?
To a lot of people,
okay,
bros.
Well, Suicide Squad and Justice League, they were the same in my head. I think I knew that, but I thought it was called Suicide Squad and not Justice League. You know, I haven't seen any of those films.
That's okay. That's fine. There's an amazing one of my favorite sort of horror thrillers, twisty one called Triangle, which is set on a boat. And it's got time crimes vibes, which I mentioned earlier. It's fantastic. I love it. And people should be chatting about it more.
Is that one of the films you tried to make me watch when we were in battle and you said it wasn't a horror film?
And you wouldn't watch it.
And you were lying to me saying it wasn't a horror film. And now you're describing it as a horror film.
You'd probably find it in the horror section, but it's not a horror. It's kind of, there is a man with a sack on his head and he's coming. But it's not horror.
Okay.
It's smarter than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Drag Me to Hell, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very silly. Mm-hmm. But then there's a couple of really highbrow flicks that, like, there's White Ribbon by Michael Haneke, Mother, which is a Korean flick, Dogtooth, which is Yorgos Lanthimos's early film. And then you've got A Prophet. Have you never seen A Prophet?
I don't think I have seen A Prophet. No, who made that?
Jacques Audiard directed flick.
Oh.
And it stars Tahar Rahim. And it's just super intense, fantastic, you know, newbie in a prison doing what he has to do to survive. But it's not too grim. A lot of those prison flicks can be too grim. But, you know, it has to be Moon.
A lot of the prison flicks these days.
Too grim. But Moon, mate. Moon. Sam Rockwell. Yeah. More.
Kevin Spacey.
Come on. Let's ignore that. It's his voice. Yeah. They can redo the voice if they need to.
They could do.
But it's just fantastic. I love all the ideas.
For anyone who hasn't seen Moon... Great movie, yeah? But it's one of those ones where you almost don't want to say anything about it to spoil anything for anyone who is yet to view Moon.
Yeah. It's a doozy.
Beautiful. Here's a couple of low ones from me now. Low culture. Yeah. Oh, not low culture, but not like highbrow in the way that you were just talking about. Yeah. The Damned United. Remember that? Michael Sheen playing Brian Clough?
Yeah, I'd read the book. The film didn't quite... That's not low culture, but it felt like a bit...
Yeah, medium.
A bit flat.
Medium culture. I think, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, it's the best football movie. There's not a lot of competition for that award. But it's a really, really good football movie. And then the other one, which is a film that... I've seen maybe five times, Adam, that I can always watch and I think is underappreciated because of the type of film that it is and the assumptions that people might make about it. That is the film The Proposal with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
And I'd be one of those people.
Yeah, you would be. Yeah, that's why I did a long caveat.
Not even seen it. I like both of those actors. Yep. I like the light vibe.
Yeah, big time.
But I've never seen it.
But it's such a great silly film, and I am convinced 2024 has been the year for me of realizing that Sandra Bullock is maybe the best ever in everything. I just think she's so good, so good. And I watch any of these films. Miss Congeniality is one of the great movies.
Okay. Nice pitch.
2010.
2010.
Oh.
We're near the end of our six-year run.
Yeah, big time.
You reckon you can pick me on 2010?
Yes, I can. I can. In its inception.
You thought you could keep getting me on the Nolans.
It wasn't Inception.
You were wrong. No.
Wow. What is it?
Well, if it wasn't Inception, what is it?
The Social Network?
No way.
Oh, it's Robin Hood.
No.
No.
It's Four Lions.
Oh, that's mine as well. I just assumed you wouldn't have picked Four Lions, but I've picked it also. I've given that away. My bad.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
It's nice when we sync up.
It's nice that we both like Four Lions more than Inception. And I thought The Social Network was great as well, but go on.
Yeah, I think... There's some really good Korean films that come out in 2010.
Uh-huh.
I Saw the Devil, Confessions, Poetry.
Yeah.
You've also got Scott Pilgrim, which I really rate and is mucho rewatchable.
Hate that movie.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Inception, I popped on the other day and it is very good, but there are things that bug me about it. Like every line of dialogue by Elliot Page is a question.
Right, yeah.
So what's Inception?
Yeah.
So what are we doing now?
And people accused it of not trying to explain itself enough.
It's very watchable, but it is kind of so silly, but it's also very, very clever.
It is.
But it's great, great big blockbuster filmmaking.
Can you imagine, by the way, and I say this on behalf of Sir Christopher Nolan, can you imagine making Inception and it not even being your best film? Fucking hell.
Yeah, was there anything else knocking around for you other than Four Lions?
Well, I mean, apart from that, I really like The Social Network. I think that's eminently rewatchable. I think it's the best film that... I think it's Jesse Eisenberg's best performance that I've seen, certainly. And it's just super viewable, man. Like, it's a really fun film to watch.
I was going to say, yes, Sorkin writes those super...
Sorkin, that was super nice.
Rewatchable, like, scripts like that, Moneyball. There is just that... He does damn him... when he directs his own stuff, that's when he becomes unstuck.
Well, the only other film I listed was Black Swan, because Natalie Portman's amazing in that. And it is... It's scary and it's, you know... It makes me sweat, that film. Like it's a very unpleasant watch. I would never have selected it as my favorite because I don't like watching it, but I just wanted to include it as like a really good film.
It's a good film, man. It's a bit much.
And Rusty Crowe in Robin Hood.
Yeah, that's not getting anywhere near my my 2010 list.
Yeah.
2011. I can guess you on this. This is easy guess.
Hold on, wait one second. Wait one second, because I think I left this one to go, okay, I'll decide between these later.
You had to decide between.
Oh, God. Okay, no, I'm going to stick with what I put down. I don't think it's that easy. No, it's not, Adam. It's not.
Oh, and it's not Potter 2.
It's Potter Part 2, yeah, it is.
It's Potter Part 2. So yeah. you've just gone to
yeah.
bog standard Potter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But come on, if it's not Potter, it's Moneyball, right?
Yes, close run with another, but it would be Moneyball because that is a phenomenal movie that I could watch maybe every day for the rest of my life.
2011.
Guessing you now?
Yeah, you're not going to get me now.
I think I might get you. There's a lot of films this year that it could have been, I think. And I'm going to list a couple that I don't that it isn't.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like it. I like when you do
it's
that.
It's not Drive.
Definitely not. Absolutely not. No. That's not even on my list of my long list.
It's
F that.
It's not The Raid. Is it The Raid?
Carry on saying what it's not, Joe.
Oh no, it's The Raid. I went for Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol because I know you love those films so much.
Yeah, but that's not the Mission Impossible.
I've never seen them. I recognise that name. I thought maybe it that way. So it is The Raid.
Mate, it's not going to be one of the weaker Mission Impossible movies.
I didn't know it was weak. I thought Tom Cruise came on the TV and you were just sort of brainwashed into adoring everything he says.
Well, you've really come a cropper, haven't you? Come on, list some of the other films that you don't think it was.
Okay, well, it wasn't Shame. I knew that.
No.
But it's a really good film. It wasn't Warrior, however rewatchable that is, with Tom Hardy.
Not on my long list.
Not on your long list. It wasn't The Hunter with Willem Dafoe, which it nearly was for me. That's a terrific film.
Not on my long list.
And it wasn't The Guard with Brendan Gleeson.
Nowhere near my long list.
Nowhere near your long list, no.
You fucked it on The Raid because it was The Raid.
Yeah, it was The Raid.
On my long list is obviously Moneyball.
Uh-huh.
Source Code.
Source Code, mate.
Oh, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
I left that one off mine.
Kill List.
Yeah, I never seen
that
it.
That was so close to being my pick. There's a phenomenal film called Margaret.
Don't think I've seen that.
Which everyone has to watch. It stars Anna Paquin, directed by Kenneth Lonergan,
uh-huh.
who directed... what's that flick with Casey Affleck and Michelle Williams?
Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah. Mm.
Very sad.
Margaret is phenomenal. You've got to see that. Martha Marcy May Marlene.
Martha Marcy May Marlene's a lovely film. Really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah. And then Cabin in the Woods, which is great fun. But The Raid changed action movies forever. It's phenomenal. I love it.
Yeah.
It's so rewatchable. And... you know, without that film, you're not getting the same kind of... you're not getting John Wick's...
No.
You're not getting, like, all action now you get.
Yeah.
If it's not, anyway, if it's not, like, trying to copy The Raid, forget about it.
Yeah.
It just created a new cinematic language, and I love it.
I'm happy for you, man. I like it too.
Yeah, didn't realise I loved it so much, did you, mate?
I didn't realise it at all.
How heartbreaking was that? For you?
What, when I got The Raid wrong?
Yeah.
Not really at all, because I thought the upside of saying it wasn't The Raid was that saying it was Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, because I think it's funny, even if that was one of the better ones, I would think it would be funny if that was your favourite in that year.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
No, I know, but it was sort of like criticism, even just me suggesting that it might be.
Yeah, but it's a joke that didn't... It's yeah, you're just trying to be... kind of cruel, because you're talking about films that you haven't seen.
I haven't seen them.
And then you're assuming they're shit. That's like me saying Vicky Cristina Barcelona starring Penelope Cruz is shit.
Yeah, but you've seen that one, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen Vicky Cristina established.
I thought you were saying you had seen it and you just forgot.
No,
about
I said,
it.
Oh my God, you just tuned out.
I tuned out.
Haven't seen the Mission Impossible films.
No.
You've written them off just because Timothy Cruise.
I haven't actually. I just know that you think
have
I
no
have.
Idea.
I'm just playing right, into.
But you have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm playing into your perceptions of me.
You are.
I haven't actually written them off. I just know that you think I have. So sometimes it's funny to pretend like I have.
No, but you say, look, I have no idea what what's pretend or what's not. You say that you've written them off. You say that you've written off Tom Cruise. I take the shit you say at face value. Otherwise, this podcast is fucking impossible.
I never said,
hey, oh, actually, that's a pretend thing, I think.
I never said I wrote off Tom Cruise. I said the door to Tom Cruise just was never open. It wasn't I wrote.
Oh, God, here we go. We're going back down that conversation. No, the door was never open. The door was shut. The window. No, I've not written him off. Stop changing the words. I'm just using, like, you're so pedantic over my phraseology around you and Tom Cruise.
Because you tried to trap me. It's like, no, you trap me. You're saying I'm the one that's trapping you. I'm the one that's saying, like, oh, you love Cruise. Like, I'm poking at you. No, you're poking at me. You're poking at me saying that I've locked out Tom Cruise. I haven't locked out Tom Cruise. There isn't even really a door. I can't open the door because the door doesn't exist. There's no windows. I'm not even in a building. I'm just outside and he's around there too. And I know you like the Mission Impossible movies. I'm not judging them.
Pause. Tell me how you feel about Tom Cruise. Just say Tom Cruise films. Like, when I say you've written off Tom Cruise, you're going, no, I haven't done that. Can you just give me a short sentence that I can say to apply for you about Tom Cruise, just so I'm clear? I don't want every time I say about you feeling about Tom Cruise, and you're going, no, it's not that. I've closed the door. In fact, there's no door at all. I'm not even in the house.
So what do you want me to say?
It's fucking... I just want you to give me a short sentence when I can say, this is what you think about Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I think The Last Samurai is a great film.
You what?
I think The Last Samurai is great. Love that.
I don't want that. That's not what I want. I want you to say how you feel about Tom Cruise as an actor and his films. Like, as a catch-all, you know, when I sort of... If I can say something like, well, you've written off Tom Cruise... I need to say something like that, all right, in an argument, because Tom Cruise is going to come up again and again. And I need to be able to contain that in a short, pithy statement without you coming back to go, no. I genuinely, at the minute, want to fucking tear my eyeballs out and kill myself.
Okay, so I'm just to summarize in one sentence how I feel about Tom Cruise. That's what you want.
Just roughly. And something that I then can say back to you. Yeah. Without you nitpicking it to death.
Okay. And so don't talk about his films, just talk about how I feel about him.
Let's see how it goes. No, because I don't want you to involve anything... No, it's like him and connected to his films, as opposed to him as in connected to his persona or his real life or whatever.
And just so I'm clear, this is so that in the future this can be the official record of what I think, as opposed to me saying something different to what you say.
I just want you to give me something that I can say about you and your feelings to Tom Cruise without you then having a go at me. Not having a go. You don't have a go at me.
Yeah, okay.
But without you correcting me, to keep the flow of the podcast going.
Official record, yeah.
Official record. Okay. Hopefully I'll remember.
Yeah. Say go.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Go. What's he going to say?
Say go.
Oh, go.
I think he's shit and I've written him off.
I love it. I know you think that, and I'm so glad I fucking pushed you to say it.
No, I don't really mean that. Don't really mean it.
Christ, what do you mean, Joe? If we haven't got ground rules, if there's not terra firma around what you believe about something, I just can't have a conversation with you without you kind of pulling out your little joker and kind of going, hang on, let me finish, without pulling out the joker. Actually, I just wanted you to think I thought that because I want to poke fun about you and Mission Impossible. I'm so sensitive about my love for Mission Impossible movies because they are clearly a big joke. Mm-hmm. And that's not cool.
No.
Because some of them are phenomenal.
Yeah. Listen, I thought Valkyrie was fine, you know, it was fine. I can see he's got a sort of play, you know. I just think he's weird. The main thing I think when I watch him in everything apart from The Last Samurai is this guy's fucking weird, man.
Right. So then that for me is equivalent to sort of basically writing him off, but because you're not really ever going to watch a film with him in, and you're never going to be engaged with it because the door's never open. You think he's weird.
No.
And there's going to be the wall up.
That's not true.
I don't mind that.
Because of The Last Samurai, right? The option, and he's good and really good in Magnolia, right? The option for Cruise to surprise is always there. And I am open to that, right? He just doesn't do it that often for me.
Oh, great. There you go. We've got there. Mm-hmm. I love that. Joe, on this date, said, the option for Cruz is always there to surprise me.
Yeah. Collateral.
He just doesn't do it that much.
I like Collateral.
Brilliant. But fundamentally, which Mission Impossible films have you seen? And can you do you even know?
Yeah, I've seen one that's got Simon Pegg in it.
That could be anyone from number three.
Which is the one where he's in London and he runs across the glass roof?
Oh, that's...
is it Rogue
Five?
Nation?
No, that's... it could be Rogue Nation or Fallout. I feel like it's Fallout.
I think it's Rogue Nation. I think I've seen Rogue Nation.
Right, but he runs across London.
Yeah.
That's Fallout.
Oh, then I've seen Fallout.
Six. Rogue Nation has got Sean Harris in.
Oh, I've seen that one. Maybe I've seen two.
In fact, Sean Harris is in Fallout as well with a beard.
Yeah, no, I've seen I've seen six. I've seen Fallout. Yeah, that's the one I've seen. Is that the good one?
So you haven't... Is that Fallout? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it goes on a bit too long. But I still... It's got some fantastic bits
that's
in it.
That's the one where he climbs the Burj Khalifa?
No, that's number four, Ghost Protocol.
I've seen that one. As well, I think.
Which is the one you tried to get me on?
Maybe I've seen them all.
Directed. You haven't seen number one?
No, haven't seen number one or two, I don't think.
You don't forget two. Two doesn't count.
Right.
Two's a piece of shit.
Okay.
One is superb. Brian De Palma directed.
I think I'll be watching them all now, Adam. Would you like that?
Three's great fun. Listen, three is superb fun. Mm-hmm. Philip Seymour Hoffman does one of the best villains. In cinema.
Right.
Okay.
Listen.
That's
listen
great
me. Listen
fun.
To me. Okay.
Listen.
It's up to you, but there's two precedents here. Okay. One, we did multiple movies already with the apes. Okay. Two, I have got you to watch films that I love for this podcast.
And I've
three,
never done that to you.
I've watched... Clearly, two or three of these Mission Impossible films and almost completely forgotten them. So, what about if we did a special episode on the Mission Impossibles? I'd love to bang through these movies.
Yeah, I mean...
Special episode to end the summer. How about that? We'll get through our best 21st century movies and then we'll do that special one.
Okay.
Yeah?
But we can't do... I'm not watching two... Two is going to be void from the series.
I'll be watching them all just because that's the only pure way to do it. But you can skip two if you want.
Yeah, but if you watch two, you're going to base all of your criticisms on around two.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not you. I'm probably going to really enjoy them all, aren't I? Don't you think? You think they're good films, don't you?
No. You're gonna watch them with like Lord of the Rings eyes.
No.
And... you're going to go, well, there aren't enough walking trees in this. I don't like this.
See, I think you're afraid of yourself. I think that's what we're learning in this little section. Because
I'm not afraid of anything.
I think you're afraid of how you would react to this situation. I'm looking forward. I trust you. I think if you love these films so much, and I want to see what you love in them as well.
I love some of them. I think it's generally a great series of films.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see what you see in them, you know. I'm looking forward to watching them with your eyes.
I didn't think this episode would end with a fucking 20-minute argument about what you think about Tom Cruise and me defending
and
why
us
I love
agreeing
Mission
to
Impossible.
Watch 8 movies for one episode.
So that's the end of part two on that bombshell. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't want to say that. That's the end of... Well, it's actually Partridge.
Is it?
And Coog and
Clarkson
stole it.
Really?
He stole it.
No way.
Wow. And then he made it his. So he took us something really funny that me and my friends would say down the pub, and then he just turned it into something unironic and shit.
How funny.
So yeah. Wow. There you go. Thanks, Clarkson.
Clarkson.
So there we go. That was part two, finishing on a really controversial, eggy moment.
An eggy mess.
Join us very soon. I'm not going to say next week because it could be a few days. I don't know how we're releasing these. For part three, 2012 to 2017? Yeah. 2018?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 2017.
Part three, 2012 to 2017. Say bye, Joe.
Bye, Joe.